book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. The book of Ecclesiastes is, of course, the inspired writing of Solomon. Different views concerning the book. We know that Solomon, in the last part of his reign, fell into sin and forsook God. I believe the book of Ecclesiastes records the lifestyle of Solomon during that time. It is certainly one of the least studied portions of the entire Bible. I believe it's one of the most misunderstood books in all the Word of God. But it is the Word of God. No matter what approach that you take to the book, it is the Word of God. And again, the writer, who in the last half of his reign had forsaken God, the book of Ecclesiastes is his thoughts, his reflections. Again, I believe, while he was out of fellowship with God, perhaps he's looking back. But it's Solomon's view of a life apart from the Lord. The book records again the lifestyle of a man who has forsook God. It's a picture of a life dismally lived with God omitted. It's what happens when an individual omits God from their life. Records the thoughts of a man who pursued just about everything other than the Lord. And I believe the lesson of Ecclesiastes is that if you live your life apart from God, if you live your life in sin, if you live your life in rebellion, it's all empty. It's all vain. It is an empty life. It is a vain life. And therefore, the book opens in verse 2 of chapter 1, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And that is true. If you live your life apart from God, and those are the words of a man who had forsook God, it's all vain. The word vanity means empty, means without meaning. It's used 37 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And again, shows the utter disappointment, the utter emptiness of a life lived omitting the Lord. Apart from God, life is full of weariness, life is full of disappointment, and again, in the end, it's all vain. So I believe Ecclesiastes is Solomon's survey and his findings concerning the question, what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? And then by the time we get to the end of the book, Solomon, who has been searching for the meaning of life, says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. Here's the heart of the matter. Here's the main thing. Fear God. keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I want to speak this evening on the bottom line. And we have it right here in this verse. We see, first of all, the negative side of the question of the meaning or the purpose of life. All through the book, we see that Solomon is in search of happiness. He's in search for the meaning of life. And one thing after another, he tells us, this isn't it, this is vain. He goes on to the next thing, this isn't it, this is vanity. He tells us, to begin with, if we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, that life is not about wisdom, it's not about education, it's not about learning. That's not the bottom line. There's nothing wrong with being educated, nothing wrong with having knowledge, but that's not the bottom line. That's not what life is all about. And there was a point in Solomon's life where he gave himself to seeking knowledge. He sought after knowledge. But notice in chapter 1 and verse 13, "And I gave my heart, that is, I gave my all, to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith." A life of knowledge, a life of learning, did not fulfill the life of Solomon. And you can pursue education, you can pursue learning, and there's nothing wrong with telling our children you need to learn, you need to have knowledge, but don't ever forget that's not the bottom line. That's not what it's all about. It's about serving God. It's about fearing God. It's about keeping his commandments. Don't ever, ever lose sight of the bottom line. Well, if I get such and such a degree, I'll have it made. Not if you omit God. You omit God and it'll all be vanity. It'll all be empty. It'll mean nothing. It'll mean nothing in the big picture. Life is not about pleasure. Notice in chapter 2, in verse 1, "I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this is also vanity." Enjoy pleasure. Verse 10. "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from joy, from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor." And then notice in chapter 7, in verse 6, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, which is very short-lived, so is the laughter," that's joy, "so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity." Just like education, brilliance, knowledge will not give you the meaning of life, will not fulfill your life, life is not about pleasure either. How many times people have come and they have said, I just want to take some time and I just want to have a good time. How many young people, I've been tied down with mom and dad's rules, I've been made to go to church for years, and now it's just time in my life, I just want to have a good time. Well, many have already tried that. You don't need to try that. Solomon tried it. He said, I did not withhold any joy from my life. But it was all vanity. It was all vanity apart from God. And it still is. Don't you see? You don't have to try that. Because Solomon tried it, he gives us the results. Many others have tried it. All you have to do is ask. And many will be glad to tell you that yes, they too tried that once, pursuing a life of joy. And it was all in vain. And it cost them dearly. Life is not about riches. It's not about knowledge. It's not about pleasure. It's not about riches. Notice in verse 4 of chapter 2, and we're going to read these verses several times, but begin with verse 4. He said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood and bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Notice, he refers back to his wisdom, his knowledge. He refers back to his pleasures. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works, what we just read about, that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. Not only was it vanity, it was vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Get a good education, because if you get a good education, you can make a good living. But that's not what life is all about, friend. That's not what it's all about. Solomon has already said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, and he gives us the bottom line, and we'll get to that in a minute. But life is not about how much money I can make. Life is not about how much money my children can make. That's not what it's about. And if for 1 minute you think that's what it's about, you are on the road to a life of vanity, a life of emptiness, a life of vexation. Notice in chapter 5, verse 10, still speaking of riches. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. This is also vanity. Paul warns of such in 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 11. They that labor to be rich will fall into many hurtful lusts, will fall away from the faith. It's not those that are rich, it's those that labor to be rich. That's their goal. That's their goal in life. I want to make so much money by this time in my life. I want to have financial goals. And I suppose there's nothing wrong with having financial goals as long as you don't lose sight. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. So if you do not reach your financial goal, that doesn't mean that life is over. That doesn't mean that you have not achieved. Perhaps you reach your financial goal, but you omit God. That's vanity. It's all vanity. It's all vexation
of spirit. Life is not about working hard.
Again, we teach our children these things, and these are good things to teach our children. They need to learn. They need to have knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with making a living. And there's certainly nothing wrong with working hard. But it's not what life is all about. That's not the bottom line. Again, notice verse 4 through 7 of chapter 2. Life's not about working hard. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them all, for all kinds of fruits. And I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. He worked hard. And this was the fruit of his labor. But then by the time you get down to verse 11, he says it's all vanity. Because he had forsaken the Lord. Notice verse 17 and 18 of chapter 2. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And how many? Oh, I just want to make sure that when I leave this life, that my children are able to live comfortably. Wouldn't it be more important to leave your children with a testimony that mom or dad served God? It would be far more beneficial to them. So these things are not the bottom line. Life is not about power. It's not about prestige. Oh, I just got to get to this certain level. And once I get there, I've got it made. Life's not about position. It's not about authority. It's not about prestige. Notice verse 7 through 9 of chapter 2. Again, we've read these verses. I want to read them again. I got me servants and maidens. That's prosperity, that's power, that's prestige. And had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increase more than were all before me in Jerusalem. But again, you come down to verse 11. He looked on all of his works, and he said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So you see, Solomon, of all these things that we just mentioned, Solomon found that none of these things were the ticket. I cringe when people say, get a degree, that's your ticket. You'd better read the Word of God. That is not your ticket in life. That's not even the key. Here's the bottom line. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So Solomon looks back and he says, all of these things, the knowledge, the pleasure, the hard work, the prestige, these weren't the key. These weren't the ticket to the life that I was looking for. He looked upon these things and said, all is vanity. All is vanity. 10 times in the book, he uses the word vexation. 10 times. Vexation isn't something you want. To be vexed is to be disturbed. You ever notice that
In our society, people have more than they ever had, and people are more disturbed than they've ever been.
Vexation.
Because you can't omit God. I don't care what you accumulate in this life, you cannot omit God and not be vexed. You're going to be disturbed. It means to be annoyed. People are more annoyed today than they've ever been. They're agitated. They're troubled. And they're tormented. How many times you've heard of a biography? Perhaps you've read it, of someone who's rich and famous, and you read their life story, and it's a life of torment. Because you cannot omit God. You can't replace God with pleasure. You can't replace God with knowledge. You can't replace God with power and prestige and hard work. None of those things are going to take the place of God. And you omit God in your life. I don't care how many degrees you get. You omit God in your life, you are headed for a life of vanity. A life of vexation. A life of torment. Solomon had it all. As far as the world is concerned, he had everything. And yet 10 times, he says it was all vexation. But you know, most today have bought into the idea that the key to happiness, the key to a good life, is one or all of these things that Solomon has mentioned here in the book of Ecclesiastes. Whether it be education, or pleasure, or wealth, or career, power, position, prestige. And how many times when an individual gets away from God, they will try to replace God with at least one of those things, if not all. Doesn't work. Because you can't replace God. How many times you've heard people say, well, I don't think about things, I just work all the time. That works real well, doesn't it? You want to talk about vexation of spirit? That's what that brings. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Listen to Solomon. Listen to Solomon as he talks about the bottom line. He comes now to the positive side. He's presented the negative throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. And notice here in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12, notice the last phrase of the verse. For this is the whole duty of man. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the bottom line. Here's what it's all about. Here's the main thing. Man has a duty to God. The whole duty of man. Man has a duty to God. Whether you are saved or unsaved, every man has a duty to God. As God's creation, we have a duty to God. More so, you and I that are saved. A duty conveys the idea of a responsibility. You may decide, I just want to have pleasure in my life. Don't forget, you have a responsibility to God. Oh, I want to be educated so I can provide well for my family. Don't forget, you have a responsibility to God. Don't forget that. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is, man has a duty to God. Whatever you're going through in life, whatever problems you may have, don't forget, you have a responsibility to God. Don't ever, ever forget that. Don't get so busy living your life that you forget you have a responsibility
You have an obligation. You, as a child of God, have a commitment to God. There is to be an allegiance to God. So the bottom line is, man has a duty to God. In every phase of life, we're old, we're young, we're middle-aged, eventually we get old if we live long enough. But in every phase of life, I have a duty to God. People will say, well, you're only young once, so live it up. You're only old once too. That's foolishness. Turn that around. You're only young once, so live it up. You're only young once, so serve God. He goes, that's the bottom line. Don't ever forget, you have a duty to God. Hey, I want to go away to school and have a good time. Don't forget your duty to God. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget that you're a child of God. Oh, many have forgotten that life is a duty, a responsibility and obligation to God in every aspect of our life, in every area of our life, whether it be work, whether it be play, whether it be family, whether it be church, whatever area of life you want to talk about, you have a duty to God. There is no one area in your life in which is off limits to God. You have a duty to God. In everything you pursue in life, in every one of your pursuits, and I would tell people, yes, pursue knowledge. But don't forget, you have a duty to God first. Pursue a career, but don't forget, you have a duty to God first. Don't ever forget that. And that will eliminate a lot of pursuits if we just remember our duty to God. In every relationship of life, whatever it is, you have a duty. You have a duty to God. Everything about life is to be centered around God. And in nothing is our duty to God to be swallowed up. A career is not to swallow up our duty to God. An education is not to swallow up our duty to God. Pleasure is not to swallow up our duty to God. Working hard is not to swallow up our duty to God. Our first responsibility is God. That's first. Solomon came to this conclusion. Here's the bottom line, Solomon says. Take it from a man who's tried everything, he says. Here's the bottom line. We have a duty to God. And our duty to God is to take precedence over everything else. Our duty to God is a foundation on which we are to base our decisions. How do we base our decisions? Is it what's going to be best for my career? Is it what's going to help me reach my financial goal? Or to give me the most pleasure in life? Or to give me the most knowledge? What do we base our decisions on? It ought to be the duty of God. Our duty to God. Don't lose sight. It's what we should base our choices upon. So when it comes to education, pleasure, riches, position, remember, you have a duty to God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And it begins, though it's the last part of the verse, it begins here. You have a duty to God. That's the bottom line. You have a responsibility to God. I get so tired of hearing, well, Brother Dan, you know I can't do everything I'd like to because of the job, because of this, because of that, because, and on and on it goes. There's always something. Always something. What they fail to realize is you have a duty to God. And that comes first. And you've allowed other things to swallow up your duty to God. And then notice, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Or here's the bottom line. Fear God. Fear God. Here's a man who has searched for the meaning and for the purpose of life. And he's going to give his final conclusion after he's searched for the meaning and purpose of life. He's going to sum it all up. Listen. Listen to what Solomon says when he says, here's the bottom line. Fear God. Fear God. You don't hear many today giving advice. Here's the mean of it all. Here's the heart of the matter. Fear God. You can't get better advice than that. Here's the bottom line. Hebrews 12, verse 28, this fear is a godly fear that allows us to worship and serve God acceptably. And it is a result of faith in the Lord. This is a fear that dreads God's displeasure. Let us hear the bottom line. Fear God. That is, you dread the displeasure of God. Well, you know, I don't want to disappoint my boss. Solomon says, here's the bottom line. You dread displeasing the Lord. Fear God. Fear God. Don't ever lose sight of that. It is a reverence of the majesty of God. It is a respect for the authority of God. There's very, very little respect today for God, even amongst God's people. And I believe there's several reasons for that. One of the reasons is the way God is presented so many times when he's preached. I wouldn't respect him either if I believed that's the way he was. But this fear includes a respect for the authority of God. People will say, well, it doesn't matter how you come dressed to church. It doesn't matter as long as you're there and you mean well. Oh, a lot of that has to do with respect. Respect for God. Because if you're going to go meet someone important, you're not going to dress like a tramp. Because you have some respect. And even more so when it comes to the things of God. Respect. It is to regard him with a sense of awe. And a sense of affection. This is our duty. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Pass the time of your sojourning here on this earth in fear. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. This is part of the whole duty of man. And you ever notice in the Bible when God is going to describe a believer and a worshiper of God, is often described as one who fears God. Abraham on Mount Moriah. God said, now I know that you fear God. You fear me. That's a compliment. And Solomon says, here's the bottom line. Fear God. Reverence the Lord. Have a respect for God in every phase of your life. You have a respect for God. How many parents have fallen in line with the foolishness of, well, you know, they're only young ones, so we got to, well, I don't necessarily agree, but we've got to let them do what they're going to do. You're no smarter than they are. That's a shame. You've gotten that far in life, far enough to be a parent, and you don't know any more than your child. I'll say it. In every aspect of our life, every phase of our life, I don't care if it's young, middle-aged, or old, doesn't matter. Fear God. Fear the Lord. He goes on and he says the next thing. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the bottom line. Fear God. Keep His commandments. That's obedience. Obedience implies the recognition of authority. It goes a little further than just recognizing authority. It submits to authority. Here's the bottom line, Solomon says. Life is not about education. Life is not about pleasure. Life is not about working hard. Life is not about achieving certain things. Life is about obeying God. Now, in your pursuit of knowledge, obey God. In your pursuit of a career, obey God. In all of your goals in life, whether they be financial, whether they be career, whatever your goals are, obey God. That is the number one thing. Obey God. Obey God. This is the answer to those who have marital difficulties. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Husband and wife, fear God. And obey Him. That'll solve almost all the marital problems. If both husband and wife will do those two things, that'll solve their problems. Hear the conclusion. Here's the bottom line. The truth is today, people don't want to hear about the bottom line. They really don't. Because the bottom line is what matters. It's what really matters. Is what comes out on the bottom. You can have a whole column of numbers. What is it that matters? The bottom line. That's what's going to matter. And this is what matters. Fear God. Keep His commandments. I would tell every young person, nothing wrong with having goals in life. In fact, you ought to have goals in life. Nothing wrong with working hard. You ought to work hard. Nothing wrong with pursuing knowledge, as long as it's the right kind of knowledge. But in it all, don't ever forget, you have a duty to God. That is primary. And in it all, don't forget, here's the bottom line. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This will go a long way in choosing the right mate as well. You want to hear the bottom line in choosing a mate? Fear God. Keep His commandments. It's the bottom line. That's what it's all about. That's the heart of the matter. Oh, if we could only learn this lesson that Solomon learned. Solomon learned it the hard way. He really did. He basically ruined his life. When it came down to the end, he said, here's the bottom line. Here's what it's all about. Listen to someone who will tell you, here's the bottom line. They may have ruined their life, but if they've got enough sense to tell you, here's the bottom line, fear God and obey Him, you better listen. Listen. To that individual. You don't have to go out and try everything. Well, you know, Brother Dan, they've got to try things. Where do you get that? Where do people get such nonsense? Well, you know, we tried things. Yeah, and I wish I hadn't. Didn't make me any better. They don't have to try things to learn. If they would just listen.
Listen to people who've gone through it. Listen to them. Listen. And hear the bottom line. And if we would pay attention to the bottom line, we would avoid a lot of troubles in life. I mean, if someone comes to you for counseling, you can, I don't care what their problem is, you can take them to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 every single time. You can't go wrong. You say, brother, sister, here's the bottom line. Fear God, keep His commandments. Now, they're not going to come back to you a second time, more than likely. But you can't go wrong giving that advice. That's it. That's what matters in our life. So God help us to learn this very valuable lesson. And I believe there's many sitting here that have already learned that lesson. There's others that I'm fearful for because they haven't learned that lesson, and it seems to me that they're bent on doing the things that Solomon did. God help them. Brother Larry, you come.